really, our mission is really, it's only to hear. But because by expressing our eagerness to hear, just by being there, then as the Bhagavatam explains, Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Shravana Kirtana Ridyantasto, Krishna within the heart, Abhadrani, all the inauspiciousness becomes removed, not by me, but by Krishna. And this is one of the mysteries of the mysterious path of bhakti, is that when you decide, when you hear about Vrindavan, you decide to be a devotee, and then you come forward, you come to Vrindavan, yes, I'm going to be a devotee, and there's such a gap between what you hear you're supposed to be, what you show others that you are often, and what you really are, and what goes on inside. There's such a big gap that can actually make a devotee quite crazy, because you end up acting in a hypocritical way or fooling yourself, I'm actually like this, and then the difference in the gap between what you want, what you are, and what you're supposed to be can become so great, and then you can easily snap into at least two or three pieces or something. So we don't want that to happen. Certainly. But yet, just by hearing about what is attractive to Lord Jagannath, and that's really the very simple message of this specific class. Yesterday's, if anything, it had to do with becoming a menial servant, and this one has to do with understanding what love is, because that is what is attracting Krishna, and that's what Vrindavan is. But it's not the love of this world, it's something that's sublimely pure and alokika. It is not of this world, and therefore Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our Srila Prabhupada, they criticize those who using their own minds, using the sentiment of the mind, try to act as if the spiritual love, which is actually simultaneously, it comes from within the heart and it descends from the spiritual world, is using their own sentiment to make believe that something mundane in my mind is something spiritual. This is called sahajya, cheapening, or taking it cheaply. Sahaj means easy, as if it's easy. But the cost of Vrindavan is really everything. But it's not everything grudgingly given. It's everything given with the greatest happiness out of deep loving affection for Krishna. So what we're trying to do is develop our love for Krishna, develop the desire to love Krishna, to plant those desires within the heart, to supplant all the other desires which I've accumulated for so many countless births, the desire to just be peaceful, the desire for me to be happy, the desire to be famous, to be a good speaker, to be a scholar, a musician, a singer, unlimited, unstrong, you know, whatever. Whatever we feel we're lacking, we end up trying to desire that. And even we tend to place in the way of our Krishna consciousness intermediary desires. If only I knew Sanskrit, then I could study the Shastra better, and then I could speak better, and then I could please Prabhupada better. Just forget it. Forget all the intermediary desires and just desire the one thing and the and that is to be a loving servant of Krishna. And the base, the base platform, the foundational platform, is desiring to be a servant, but not a paid servant. A servant, a loving servant, serving one who serves out of gratitude and love. Love. And by desiring to hear about this, desiring to hear about it, but hearing about this very, very high platform, or the highest platform of the resonance of Vrindavan, is not to make us imitate, but it's to plant in the heart two desires simultaneously. Or two realizations simultaneously. One is that this is so wonderful, this is so pure, this is so super excellent. And the other desire is, I'm so unqualified. And if we keep on hearing all the unqualifications, the lack of qualification, that's Vidyantistoya Badrani Vidinoti Saritsatam. Krishna, he becomes, as we're enthusiastic to hear about him, he becomes eager to cleanse our heart. So all we have to do is plant ourselves in front and listen. In one sense, it's simple. But oh, how the mind will find other things to do and other places to be. And that's, in one sense, the difference between the children and the adults often. The children, they haven't learned the hypocrisy that we've learned yet. You know, when we can sit there and make believe that we're there and our mind is all over the universe, and we can make believe we're there, and the children, they start going like this and like this and like this because their minds are somewhere else. So let's hear, because we heard about Vrindavan, just a little bit about the sweetness, the beauty of Vrindavan. Let's hear something about the quality of the love that the Brijvasis have. And please remember, the context of this is that this is what has attracted Lord Jagannath. As soon as he saw the sand on both sides of the cart and the gardens, he remembered Vrindavan and he becomes attracted. And this is the platform of understanding. We're just beginning to enter, just get a glimpse of Vrindavan, because later on Mahaprabhu is going to dance. And in his dancing, his heart becomes revealed. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, knowing the truth from Raghunath Das Goswami, who was there present and was serving Srila Sarup Damodar Goswami, and Rupa Goswami, we're actually getting very, very, very intimate details of the heart of God. But until we understand the basics of Vrindavan, we won't be able to understand the dancing of Mahaprabhu, and then we will not be able to dance. So I'll read just a few verses, and I won't read purports, but maybe I'll speak from what I've already read, where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, in the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, is going to describe the nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, for Krishna. He starts by saying, in the part I'm reading, this conclusion of rasa is extremely deep. Only Sarup Damodar knows much about it. Anyone else who claims to know it must have heard it from him, for he was the most intimate companion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The love of the gopis is called Rudabhav. It is pure and spotless. It is not at any time lust. There is not the slightest tinge of selfishness in the heart, in the mind, in the love, in the activities of the Brijbasis, the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan. The pure love, and this is a quotation, the pure love of the gopis has become celebrated. Excuse me, it's not a quotation. No, yes, yes, Sanskrit. The pure, from Bhaktivinoda Sindhu. The pure love of the gopis has been celebrated by the name lust. It has been called lust. The dear devotees of the Lord, headed by Sri Uddhava, desire to taste that kind of lust, which is actually love. Lust and love have different characteristics. Just as iron and gold have different natures. The desire, and this is a very important verse, Atma Endriya Priti Vansha Tari Bali Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dari Premanam. Very simply stated, the desire to satisfy one's own senses, in other words, selfishness. When our motive is selfish, when we are in the center, when I am in the center, Tari Bali Kam, that is called lust. Krishna Indriya, the senses of Krishna. When we want to satisfy Krishna, not making believe, but actually from the depth of our consciousness, we want to satisfy Krishna. We want to serve Him. We want to please Him. He is in the center. Dare Prema Nam. That is known as Prema or love. The desire to gratify one's own senses is kam, but the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is prema, or love. The object of lust is only the enjoyment of one's own senses. No matter what it appears like, we can fool everyone, we can fool ourselves, but the center is still me. I want me to be happy. I want to become satisfied. But love caters to the enjoyment of Lord Krishna. And for this reason, Kaviraj Goswami says, it is very powerful. Social customs, scriptural injunctions, bodily demands, fruit of action, shyness, patience, bodily pleasures, self-gratification, and the path of Vanashrama Dharma, which is difficult to give up. The gopis have forsaken all these, as well as their own relatives and their punishment and scolding for the sake of serving Lord Krishna. They render loving service to him for the sake of his enjoyment. That is called firm attachment to Lord Krishna. And this is what we want to do. We want to become attached to Krishna. And therefore we want to break our attachments to the things of this world, because they are like ropes. In fact, they are guna, the three gunas, triguna. Guna means ropes, passion, goodness, ignorance. They bind us. And based on false ego, they make us think that we can actually enjoy. And as soon as you enjoy something, attachment develops. And as soon as attachment develops, then either greed, anger, those kind of things develop, which are ignorance. So Rajagunam Samudbhava, because of attachment is born of passion in the material world, the result of that is ignorance. And even if we're in the mode of goodness, if we have that tendency and we like the peacefulness and satisfaction of life and aren't filled with many material desires, we become attached to peacefulness and satisfaction. Passion. Goodness will change to passion, and then passion will come to change to ignorance. And this is the nature of the material world. It degrades one. And what we want to do, and the key in understanding all this, is just what Kaviraj Goswami is saying, is that the center is me. And this is why menial service and becoming a menial servant is the first thing that's mentioned in this chapter, because Maharaj Prataparudra became a servant of Lord Jagannath, and Mahaprabhu was pleased. because he moved his center. He gave up his false ego, his false sense of himself being important, and I've become an insignificant servant. And Mahaprabhu was pleased and gave him his mercy, and so much unlimited benefit came from the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So attachment to Krishna means that we can't be attached to the things, that we can't love and lust at the same time. We can't be attached to Maya and Krishna. We can't be dark and light at the same time. But of course, we go through our, we struggle as we're moving forward, and we should just keep on moving. We should keep on trying. We should keep on the path. We should keep on chanting. We should keep on hearing, and keep on trying to put Krishna, or move ourselves from the center and become servants. And one, and when, if Krishna allows, we'll get through the different lessons of this, of the lessons from the ecstatic dancing of Mahaprabhu, and it's just going to come up again, that Mahaprabhu's even going to be desiring Gopi Bharta Padakamalaya Dasa Dasana. This, I want to become the servant. It's the conclusion. It's the beginning. It's the conclusion. So we want to become not a detached servant, but an attached servant to our master, and that's what das and dasi means. It means it's closer to slave. You sell yourself to Krishna, but because the word slave doesn't work very good with the false ego. You know, Prabhupada didn't translate it, but that it's sold. A servant can change his servant. A slave doesn't have such independence. Sold. I belong to Krishna. I belong to the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. I don't move from that position. That kind of attachment is powerful. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Chaitanya, that the Lord hears the prayers of someone who is Sharanagata, who has that kind of surrender. They're sold already. You can do as you like. And this is what we see in Vrindavan. Krishna just doing as he likes. And everyone just trying to please him. This consciousness is not of the material world. It is free from selfishness. It is free from lust. It is love. And here, we're sitting before the greatest of servants. He's only thinks. He lets all the residents of Vrindavan walk all over him, literally, for the pleasure of Krishna, to help in the pastimes. If someone doesn't stand up for himself, people will say, you're letting everyone walk all over you. But by being touched by the hand of Giriraj, but Krishna, Giriraj, he didn't mind at all. He was just feeling ecstatic. Just by the touch. He was hoping that everyone would do that. So this is called firm attachment to Lord Krishna. It is spotlessly pure, like a clean cloth that has no stains, not a tinge of selfishness. Therefore, love and lust are quite different. Lust is like dense darkness, but love is like the bright sun. Thus, there is not the slightest taint of lust in the gopi's love. Their relationship with Krishna is only for the sake of his enjoyment. And this is why we are kept away from the esoteric dancing of Krishna with the gopis in the middle of the night, because we cannot conceive of the dealings, the intimate dealings between boys and girls, men and women, that is free of lust. We have no place for it in our consciousness. So until we are deeply purified, we keep it a little bit to the distance, or we worship it from afar, because we tend to misunderstand And then we'll tend to think, why can't I enjoy, or not even think that way, that the mind will become in a mood of not love at all, love giving, Krishna's pleasure. No. But in the residence of Vrindavan, specifically the gopi, it's like the finest of white cloths without the tinge, the slightest spot of selfish lust. It is only for the sake of his enjoyment. O dearly beloved, and this is the final verse of the Gopi Gita, your lotus feet, and it's so amazing. I'll read the verse and then just say a little about it. Your lotus feet, that gopis are talking to Krishna. Remember that he's just left the rasa dance. He's played his flute. He's called them. He's broken all their by attracting them with the sound of his flute. He's broken all their relationship with their whole family. They have nothing. They have nothing anymore. He's called them out into the forest in the middle of the night by the sound of his irresistible sound of his flute. And then he's played with them and said, oh, it's so nice in the forest, and you've come here to see the beautiful forest in the moonlight. Now that you've seen it, you can go home. You know, there are tigers there. There are this. And then, finally, they dance. No lust, they dance. No lust. Only for Krishna's enjoyment. What right does Krishna have to enjoy? Well, he's the Lila Prashoda. That is Krishna's position. And this is very hard, impossible for a conditioned soul to accept. He has the right to enjoy everything and everyone. And the residents of Vrindavan are all in complete agreement on this principle, that Krishna is the center and we're all meant to serve and love and make him enjoy. And this is his right. This is his position. And in the material world, everyone is a competitor, setting themselves up as a competitor to Krishna. So, then Krishna danced with the gopis some, and then he just left them in the middle of their dance, practically speaking. And the mixtures of their loving emotions are very wonderful, and they're completely exalted. But the conclusion is, they wanted Krishna to come back, and here's the conclusion about why. This is in the middle of the night, he's completely disappointed them. And what are they thinking? O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. It sounds very simple, but they're only thinking that Krishna may be experiencing the slightest pain, inconvenience, or difficulty as he's running from them or hiding from them. He may step on a pebble or an ankur, a shoot of grass, and it may pierce his tender foot and it may cause him pain. This is love. Everything for Krishna. The gopis do not care for their own pleasure or pain. It's not that they want pain, but it's not that they want pleasure. All their physical and mental activities are directed towards offering enjoyment to Lord Krishna. They renounced everything for Krishna. They have pure attachment to giving Krishna pleasure. This is Vrindavan. This mood, this purity, this depth of love, Krishna reciprocates with by giving himself. He has no other way to reciprocate with this. He's not a tyrant. Because we tend to think, using our mundane psychology, we'll tend to think that if Krishna has arranged everything so that everyone has to serve him, perhaps he has some type of a problem. And he wants that, he needs that. But Krishna's pleasure isn't having everyone serve him at all. That isn't his pleasure. His pleasure is serving especially the residents of Vrindavan, not a tyrant, the servant of his devotees. So this is when we say everyone in Vrindavan, when we hear how everyone in Vrindavan acts only for Krishna, and even the trees when Krishna come, their whole existence is to make beautiful flowers blossom so that when Krishna walks by, there'll be fragrance and beauty for him to experience. And the peacocks, what do they have to offer? They're dancing their beautiful feathers. So that's their happiness. When Krishna plays his flute, they dance, and Krishna dances, and then they drop their feathers so that Krishna can take them and place them upon his head and in his crown. So we talk about Vrindavan just wants to serve Krishna with no lust and only love, but that's half of Vrindavan. The other half, and perhaps the greater half, if such a thing exists, is that Krishna's desire is to serve his devotees and award them more bliss and more happiness than he experiences. This is how Krishna reciprocates. This is love. This is exchange. You love, we love Krishna, ideally, and then Krishna bestows what we give Krishna, what we have. Maybe it's a peacock feather or a flower or some water, and then Krishna gives us what he has. So who wins? Who wins the exchange? But that's Krishna's happiness. That's what he wants. So, now keep in mind, I would like to read from Nectar Devotion, not very much, just a few little pastimes, little glimpses that Rupa Goswami has given us from different shastra into what Vrindavan is. Now this is, we've heard descriptions of Vrindavan, soft descriptions with flutes and the roots of trees, and Krishna standing in his tribangalitam and playing his flute very gently. But here's something a little more intense to give us glimpses of the depth of the love that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. But it's also going to give us other glimpses as well. But please don't see this as cute, clever pastimes. You know, sometimes we hear little stories of Krishna and we giggle. But understand this from the point of view of rasa, of what kind of depth of emotion, pure emotion, the residents of Vrindavan are experiencing for these type of pastimes to take place. These are all from the Nectar Devotion, except the last one. There is an example of mixture of several humors with devotional service as follows. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill with his, what hand? Left hand. His hair became scattered all over his shoulders, and he appeared to be perspiring. When Mother Yasoda saw this scene, she began to tremble. Then, as she stared at the scene with broadened eyes, she saw Krishna began to exhibit varieties of facial expressions. Mother Yasoda became very happy and began to smile. And then again, when she thought that Krishna was holding up the hill for such an extremely long time, her clothes became soaked with perspiration. May Mother Yasoda Brajeshwari protect the whole universe by her infinite mercy. Her emotions, which means her ecstasy, because her staibhav, her love is fixed in Shuddha Vatsalya Prem, pure motherly love for Krishna. It's like playing the finest musical instrument. The pastimes do that. And her heart is vibrating with dread, wonder, laughter, compassion. This is how Rupa Goswami. But these are all different varieties of ecstasy. Next. In Danakeli Kamudi, Srimati Radharani addresses one of her friends in this manner. My dear friend, if I cannot hear of the glorious activities of Krishna, it is better for me to become deaf. And because I am now unable to see him, it would be good for me to become a blind woman. This is disappointment due to separation from Krishna. Just get a glimpse. We should get a glimpse of what love is, free of lust. When Krishna was absent from Vrindavan and was staying in Mathura, so we know this one may be a heavy one, Srimati Radharani sent news to him that his mother, the queen of Braja, was feeling such separation from him that there was foam coming from her mouth, like the foam on the shore of the ocean. And sometimes she was raising her arms like the waves of the ocean because of her intense feeling of separation. She was rolling on the ground and creating tumultuous roaring sounds. And sometimes she was remaining completely silent like the calm sea. So this is Vrindavan. It is heavy. It is the most heavy. It is the only heavy thing. It is not cheap. It is not easy. It is not cute. But in this, there is the highest ecstasy. And if Krishna allows, we'll get to some of the, when we just talk about the dancing of Mahaprabhu, all the philosophy behind this comes out. The philosophy and the pastimes. And it's heartbreaking. It's heart-melting. It's heartbreaking and heart-melting, both. And it simultaneously is wonderful. Similarly, one gopi gave a message to Krishna that Radharani, because of her separation from him and because of her enchantment with the aroma of his flower garlands, was rolling on the ground, bruising her soft body. When Krishna was going to Mathura on the chariot driven by Akura, Yasoda, and all the gopis came, and they tried to forbid him to pass and block his way. And at that time, Radharani was so perturbed that in a faltering voice, she requested Mother Yasoda to please stop Akura. Very subtle that she did not stand in front herself at the end. The gopis were ready to do that, but she, just imagine, not that we can imagine, but as Prabhupada would say sometimes, there's a particular type of nyaya, I can't remember the name of it, what if this is like this, just imagine what this is like. But just imagine the intensity of what Radharani said to Yasoda, Mata, when she, please tell them. She may have said it in simple words, but what was going on inside? Very, very, very subtle. I mean, the differences in the way that rasa and love is expressed. And that's what's going on in Vrindavan. Different varieties, different flavors, different playing of the instrument, and different varieties and tastes of ecstasy. And who is playing all this? Who's playing the instrument of it all? There's one part that later that we may read, when Krishna finally sees the gopis at Kurukshetra, he first laughs when he sees them, but it is a nervous laugh because they have caught him. And he says, "You may think me ungrateful, not having reciprocated your love properly. But you should know that it is the Supreme Lord that brings people together and separates them, like grass in the water, like dust in the wind." And the gopis look at him and say, "But we know that you are the Supreme Lord. You're not going to get away with it that easily." Just different varieties. Who is playing all this? This may come up in tomorrow's class. In something very, very wonderful. Krishna's the Supreme Lord. And he's the one orchestrating this. Everything. But it isn't him exactly either. Srila Bilamangala Thakur prays in his book as follows. What book? Krishna. What does Karna Amrita mean? Karna Amrita. Nectar for the ears. So this is a prayer that should enter the ear like nectar. Let Srimati Radharani purify the whole world. Because she has surrendered herself completely unto Krishna, and out of her ecstatic love for him, she sometimes acted just like a crazy person and attempted to churn yogurt, although there was no yogurt in the pot. And seeing this, Krishna became so enchanted by Radharani that he began to milk a bull. Krishna's mind, what is this understanding of God that we have? It is so sublime. He's controlled by love of his devotees. He's not dispensing thunderbolts if you don't act properly and obey his laws. Yes, he does that indirectly too, and gives someone who's good, you know, gives them wealth or something like that. But Krishna understanding is on a different level. That other level attracts the fear based on obedience. But Vrindavan attracts the heart. And then service out of love. These are some of the instances of insanity, of madness in connection with the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that when Krishna entered the poisonous waters of the Yamuna, Srimati Yasoda Devi went insane. Instead of searching for curative herbs, she began to speak to the trees as if they were snake charmers. With folded hands, she began to bow down to the trees, asking them, "What is the medicinal herb which can check Krishna's dying from this poisonous water?" This is an instance of insanity caused by great danger. Insanity is an instance of love of Krishna. But insanity being the anubhav or something. My dear devotees, what is in the heart of these residents of Vrindavan that causes them to act in this way? How full is their love for Krishna? One day, the mood shifts. This is another quotation. Just three more left. One day, in a joking mood, Krishna informed Radharani, "My dear Radharani, I'm going to give up your company." Upon saying this, he immediately disappeared. And because of this, Radharani became so afflicted that the color of her body changed, and she immediately fell down upon the ground of Vrindavan. She had practically stopped breathing. But when she smelled the flavor of the flowers on the ground, she awoke in ecstasy and got up. They had been touched by Krishna, perhaps. What did Krishna do? He said, "My dear Radharani, I'm going to give up your company. After he had stolen some yogurts from the pots of two gopis, Krishna told one of his gopi friends, "My dear, beautiful friend, I can take an oath that I have not stolen even one drop of yogurt from your pot. But still, despite this, your friend Radharani is shamelessly smelling the flavor of my mouth. Kindly forbid her from this devious policy of putting her face near mine." When Krishna was speaking like this, the friends of Radharani could not check their laughter. This is an instance of laughter and ecstatic love. Not a trace, a hint, a drop of lust. And finally, Krishna had sent Radharani a letter. And this is from Padyavali. Radha, and so someone told Krishna this. Someone brought Krishna this news after Radharani had gotten his letter. Radha has taught her caged parrot to recite the words of your letter. She turned your letter into a song, and she sings that song to the accompaniment of her flute and veena. This is Vrindavan. And this is why Lord Jagannath becomes attracted. The two first verses of the Jagannath Astak. Can you play along? Kadachit ka, if you know it, you can sing along. Kadachit kalindi tata vipina sangita karavo. Muda piri nari vadana kamala svada madupa. Rama Shambhu Brahma Marapati Ganesha Chittapado Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagamita Me. Sometimes, in great happiness, Lord Jagannath, with his flute, makes a loud concert in the groves on the bank of the Jamuna. He is like a bumblebee who tastes the beautiful lotus-like faces of the cowherd damsels of Braja, and his lotus feet are worshipped by the great personalities such as Lakshmi, Shiva, Brahma, and Indra, and Ganesh. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. Uje savye venum sarasi siki pircham kati tate dukulam netrante sahachara katak shambidadate sada srimad brindavanavasati lila parichayo Jagannath Swami Nayana. Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Babatume. In his left hand, Lord Jagannath holds his flute. On his head he wears the feathers of peacocks, and on his hips he wears fine yellow silken cloth. Out of the corners of his eyes he bestows sidelong glances upon his loving devotees, and he always reveals himself most intimately through his pastimes in the divine abode of Sri Vrindavan. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. So Lord Jagannath becomes attracted to Vrindavan. Now, by touching the dust of Vrindavan, the land of Vrindavan, we are very fortunate. I would like to read a few of the very, quote, simple songs of Srila Narottama Das Thakur when he describes, a great devotee describes his mood in relationship to Vrindavan. I won't read the Bangla. This is a devotee's aspiration to reside in Sri Vrindavan. Is the other microphone? You can put it there. Oh, you have it, okay. When will I renounce the circle of material family life and drowning in transcendental bliss go to Brajabhumi? Oh Lord Hari, when will this be? When will I see the blissful land of Vrindavan? When will I smear the dust of Vrindavan all over my body? And when will I walk about Vrindavan loudly singing the names of Radha and Krishna and crying, my voice choked with ecstatic love? When in a solitary grove in Vrindavan will I offer my full obeisances to the divine couple? And when will I call out, O Krishna, O Master of Srimati Radharani? And when, standing on the shore of the Jamuna, will I drink some of its waters in my cupped hands? When will this be? And when will I go to the arena of the Rasa dance? And when will I roll about in the dust, overwhelmed with ecstasy? When will I visit Vamsivat and fall down to the ground, overwhelmed by transcendental bliss? When will I see Govardhan Hill, my eyes filling with tears? When will I reside at Radhakund? And when, as a result of constantly wandering in Vrindavan, will this body fall down? Poor-hearted Narottama Das speaks in this way. When will I renounce all sense gratification? When will I accept only a water pot and torn garments? And when will I constantly sing Lord Krishna's holy names? When will I go to the groves of Braja and make my permanent residence there? And when, oh when will I attain ecstatic love for Lord Krishna? When will I wander in Vrindavan, detached from material affairs, and only eating some roots and fruit at the end of the day? Oh Lord Hari, when will that auspicious day be mine? When will I become full of bliss, overwhelmed by ecstatic love, by bathing in the cool waters of the Jamuna River? And when will I wander about Vrindavan with my arms upraised and calling out the name of Lord Krishna with tears filling my eyes? When will I see the place where Radha and Krishna secretly met? And when, overwhelmed with ecstatic love, will I roll about in the dust at that place? And when will I call out, O Radha, O controller of my life, where are you? O Krishna, O lifter of Govardhan Hill, where are you? O my masters, where are you? When will I happily pass my days at the roots of a tree in the grove of Madhavi creepers, listening to a parrot couple jubilantly sing the glories of the nectarian pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna? And when will I see Lord Govinda, who is Gopinath, the master of the gopis, accompanied by Srimati Radharani, as they both sit on a jeweled throne? Poor-hearted Narottama Das hopes that someday he will be able to obtain this so difficult to obtain desire. When will I renounce everything and go to Vrindavan? When will this be? When in great ecstasy will I roll about on the ground where Lord Krishna performed the Rasa dance? When will I see Govardhan Hill, my eyes filling with tears? When by bathing in Shyamakund and Radhakund will I attain the stage of dedicating my entire life and soul to the service of the divine couple? When will I become pure at heart by bathing in the waters of the Jamuna River? Narottama Das hopes that he will be able to reside in Vrindavan in the association of saintly devotees. beautiful Vrindavan is filled with Chintamani gems and many jeweled palaces and temples. Many regal swans play in the waters of the Jamuna, and in those waters a splendid golden lotus flower grows. In the middle of that lotus is a golden place surrounded by 8 petals. On these 8 petals, the 8 principal gopis reside. And in the center, Lord Shyama Sunda and beautiful Srimati Radharani sit on a jeweled throne. The great beauty of the divine couple and their charming joking and laughter appears to be constantly showering nectar everywhere. Narottama Das says, I pray that these blissful, eternal, transcendental pastimes of the divine couple may always be manifest in my heart. Now here, just the first 5 verses of Brajriti Chintamani, the Chintamani jewel of Braja by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It leaves off, it's just the first 5 verses, so it leaves off at an incomplete place, but still the same mood is there. This is how he opens this book. Let me glorify Brajabhumi, the place where Sri Krishna enjoys transcendental pastimes, simply by drinking with their ears the nectarian description of Brajabhumi. The liberated souls abandon the bliss of impersonal Brahman, and they yearn to attain the land of Braja. With a pure heart, let me worship Brajabhumi, which is the form of the sweetness of meditation on Sri Krishna, which is eternal, transcendental, blissful, and peerless, and which, although it cannot be understood by ordinary people, is easily understood by its resonance. A poet's poem becomes famous because of its quality of being poetic. I shall boldly declare that this poem of mine is the most poetic and the best of all poems, for it glorifies the transcendental land of Braja. I yearn to be able to write as well as Lord Chaitanya's Rupa Goswami, but I cannot write as well as he, and neither can I write as well as his followers who wrote many wonderful, perfect books which everyone should read and remember. Compared to their books, my little book can hardly be considered poetic. Millions of material universes, and even millions of spiritual Vaikuntha planets are not very significant in comparison to Vrindavan, with Sri Krishna enjoyed lunch with his friends on the Yamuna's sandy bank and enjoyed many other transcendental pastimes. So those are the first 5 verses. We'll hear some very important words by Srila Prabhupada on how to attain Krishna, how to become devotees, how to achieve Sri Vrindavan Dham. Short one, 6 minutes, 20 seconds. So let us take advantage of every second and hear carefully Prabhupada's instructions, and let us sincerely try our best to follow them.
And here it is said, Janma karma means vidbham, yujanati tattva. It is explained. The people who are reading Krishna book very seriously and tries to understand Krishna, he will understand. Krishna is very kind. As soon as he begins reading Krishna book with little faith and adherence, Krishna will be very much pleased. Sinnatan sakatat Krishna punnasavanakita. As soon as Krishna is within your heart, so when you read Bhagavad Gita or Krishna book with little seriousness, then Krishna understands. Now he is serious to understand you. You haven't got to search out Krishna. He's already within you. Simply, you have to become a little serious. Krishna, kindly give me knowledge so that I can understand. Buddhi-yugam-dada-anitam. If you are serious, devotee, if you are in love with Krishna, tesam satatajuktanang bhajatang pridhipurva. If you are engaged in His worshipping, in chanting, manvanabhava-madhvattva-madhyajimang-namaskuru, if you simply follow these four principles, simply thinking of Krishna, simply, all right, samayimana-krishna-padaravinda, simply meditate. This is meditation. Meditation means just you see the form of Krishna, and whenever you go, the impression of the form will be within your eyes, and if you think of Krishna, your life is successful. Therefore, the deity of Krishna should be seen. That is the benefit of the eyes. The ear should be engaged hearing about Krishna. The tongue should be engaged for eating Krishna's remnants of pulta, prasadam. The nose should be engaged for smelling the flower which is offered to Krishna, or the tulsi. In this way, when you engage all your senses, the legs should be utilized for coming to this temple to see Krishna, not to going to the cinema or asking. Then your life will be satisfied. You will understand Krishna. Krishna is very kind. He says, tesam satatajuktana. If you engage all your senses for understanding Krishna with devotion and faith, priti purvakam, with love. The love is the basic principle of understanding Krishna. But you develop your love. The love means, that's right, it is said, dadati pradiginnati. You are coming into the temple, if you give something, patram puspam phalam tuyam, little thing, Krishna I have brought. I could not bring any very costly thing, but I have collected this patram puspam phalam. Krishna is pleased. Tadhaṁ asnāmi. Krishna says, patram puspam phalam tuyam jumi bhaktā prajacchat. Taya bhaktya vritam asnāmi. Because he has brought it. Krishna is not beggar. Krishna created millions of fruits and flowers. He is ātmārāṁ. He is fully satisfied in himself. He is so opulent. But he wants that you should also love Krishna and give him something that he wants. Therefore he comes. Paritrāna sāguna. Therefore he comes. He is not poor. Krishna is a far opulent. Lakshmi sahasra sata sambrama sevamāna. He is always being worshipped by many hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Here we worship Goddess Lakshmi, Goddess of fortune. Mother, give me some money. And that also does not stay. Lakshmi's another name is Chanchala. Sometimes she favors and goes up. But Krishna is so opulent that millions of Goddess of fortune are engaged in his service. So why he is asking you, patram puspam phalam tuyam? He is asking out of love, that you try to love me. If you are so poor, you cannot give me anything. All right, give me little flower, little fruit. I will be satisfied. Krishna is so kind. And still you are not taking the opportunity of understanding Krishna. Just see how much unfortunate we are. As you serve Krishna, you understand Krishna. You cannot understand Krishna otherwise, unless you render service. Sevanamukhihi jivhadu sameva spurattata. ततः श्रीकृष्ण नामादि न भवेद्ग्राह्यम् इन्द्रियै. If you simply exact your senses, your nice brain, Krishna is like this, Krishna is like that, but if you are not a devotee, Krishna will not reveal himself.
Notice that Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna is so kind. Three times we should remember that. Krishna is so kind. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. What mode of material nature does satisfaction come from? Goodness. The result of the mode of passion is distress. The result of the mode of goodness is satisfaction. So what you're experiencing, remembering that, is satisfaction. But when we love Krishna, we experience ecstasy. That's different. But contemporary civilization is based on passion. And the reward of contemporary civilization is so much distress and so much degradation into ignorance. And goodness is such a relief because there's pleasure for the heart. So how wonderful. The 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes that the basic lifestyle, the basic practice of Krishna consciousness is to live in the mode of goodness and then offer everything to Krishna. So how wonderful. But your question was, what is that when I remember being with the cows and the satisfaction that comes from being with the cows? Yeah, so then think...
That's not Surabhi cows and then...
No. Okay, it reminds me of the question of one time in 1966 at 22nd Avenue, all the hippies asked Prabhupada basically to compare what is the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness like. So he told the hippies, it is like an ocean of LSD. So, of course, it doesn't have anything to do with that. But if there is satisfaction on that level, to be with these wonderful cows, just imagine an ocean of ecstasy with Krishna there and playing with the cows. Just times it by 100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, Chandra Shaka Nyaya. It gives us an idea, but it actually doesn't have anything to do with that at all. I love to read the description of that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has after he, in Madhurya Kadambini, after he sees Krishna, a Sakshat Darshan of Krishna, he says, previously, I've compared your form to a dark rain cloud, but now I see how hollow that is, that comparison is, because your form is completely transcendental, and the rain cloud is of this world. But yet we have to use the words of the concepts, we have to link the concept of the unknown to the concept that is known, otherwise we have nothing to talk about. So we say Krishna's complexion is like a rain cloud. So we look at a rain cloud, but that's not at all like Krishna's complexion, but that gives us the beauty of a rain cloud with the fresh morning sun shining through it, can give us some idea of the blackest effulgent complexion of Krishna if we times it by a billion, the beauty of that. But yet that doesn't have anything to do with either. But we have to start somewhere. So to place Krishna there in a bona fide way is wonderful. But yet we shouldn't mistake it for the real thing yet. Because we define perfect as the absence of imperfections. Or, yes, so we say they are perfect, and then, and actually the Nectar Devotion Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Srila Rupa Goswami says there is perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. So Vrindavan is most perfect. And Mathura is more perfect. Dwarka, no, which is it? Mathura is more perfect, and Dwarka is perfect. So yes, we can. But then, one time, Srila Bhaktivinoda and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, compared to Kurukshetra, Vrindavan is superficial. And Mahaprabhu wishes to take us to the mood of Kurukshetra in Rath Yatra. But Vrindavan, superficial. So yes, so perfect. It's like if one of the devotees, if a devotee on our level would in any way, slightest way, minimize any of the rasas, sakyaras or dasyaras or vatsayaras, to glorify madhuyaras, Prabhupada wouldn't accept that, because it's like, because they're all the highest. So when we're talking about with great discrimination on the highest transcendental level in Vrindavan, then we can make some discrimination. But from our position in general talk, we say they're all wonderful, just like an ant. Say if there's two mountains, one's 100 miles tall and the other is 100 miles tall and plus this amount. And an ant at the bottom is arguing with another ant at the bottom, which is taller, you know, and criticizing the smaller mountain. And there he is, an ant at the bottom. And the mountain is... Oh! Okay. 12:30. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.
Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri